The Word of God comes to us today in Psalm 95. You'll find that on page 583 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 95. One of the great calls to worship in the Bible. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you heard that story about the man who didn't want to go to church? It was Sunday morning, it was getting late, his wife was beginning to nag him. He just didn't want to get out of bed. She said, come on, you have to get up, you have to go to church. And from under the covers came this whine. I don't want to. It's so boring, nobody there likes me, I never get anything out of the sermons. Why do I have to go to church today? She said, Harold, you're sounding like a teenager. You have to go to church because you're 35 years old, you have 3 children, and you're the minister. Why do I have to go to church? How many times have you said or heard that in your life? Psalm 95 answers that perennial question with this very simple, profound answer. Come, let us bow down and worship. Lots of other reasons you might give why you came to church this morning. My parents, my wife, my husband, someone made me. Or because that's what I've always done, or because I love the music, or because I love the people, or because I know I need a word from God, I'm lost in my life, I need to get in touch with God, that's why I'm here. Lots of reasons you could give. Psalm 95 cuts through it all and says the central reason is worship. Now, the problem, of course, is that worship services aren't always very worshipful. As that reluctant pastor said, it can be pretty boring and unfriendly and irrelevant. Parents often hear their teenagers say things like that, and that's why we spent a whole year here at LaGrave studying ways in which we could make our very traditional worship more meaningful and relevant and compelling for our teens. One of the most surprising things we discovered is that changing worship style will make almost no impact on attracting teens. We were surprised. So if you're thinking we're going to change the worship style because we love our teenagers, we're not. Okay? Did you hear that clearly? All the people said? All right. I don't want to hear it again. What teenagers are looking for is not so much style as passion. Passion. One of the consultants we talked to said, young people are like heat-seeking missiles. They will go where there is fire. One of the authors we read put it this way, a passionless church will not keep passionate youth. What young people are looking for in worship is passion. Now, it doesn't mean, of course, that teenagers themselves are always so passionate. I was talking about this with a group of our teenagers about a month or so ago, and one of them told me about a movie that she'd seen. She said it's a chick flick, so you probably didn't see it, called Failure to Launch. Seen it? About a 20-something slacker who's still living at home with his parents, letting his mommy take care of him. Doesn't work much, watches a lot of TV, has no goals in life. He has a failure to launch into adulthood. When that young lady told me that, I thought to myself, I wonder how often that is a description of worship for people. We have a failure to launch. We come here, we sit on the launching pad, we hope something will happen. We might even be sort of humming, vibrating, rumbling the way rockets do on the launching pad. We're getting refueled for the journey. We're checking our flight worthiness, the O-rings and heat tiles of our spiritual lives. We're hoping that something will happen in worship, and we experience a failure to launch into passionate worship. Now, at this point, some of you adults are saying what my seminary professor friend said when I was telling him about our discovery about passion. He said rather dismissively, "Oh, yeah, kids, all they want is emotion." And when I told him that we were not talking about mere emotion here, he said, "Well, then what are you talking about? You'd better be pretty clear about that, Stan, when you tell your congregation about this passion business, because, of course, there are all kinds of wrong passion, the kinds of passion that end you up with an unwanted pregnancy and that bring down Twin Towers in New York. And so I want to talk with you this morning about proper passion. About the passion that every Christian I've ever met wants to have in her own life and in every single worship service." Our closing hymn describes it beautifully. "Teach me to love you as your angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame. The fullness of the heaven-descended dove, my heart an altar, and thy love the flame." Deep down inside, every single one of us has this desire to have a love that is authentic, to have a love so great that you're willing to die for it, and that love is willing to die for you. In her book, Practicing Passion, Princeton professor Kenda Dean writes this: "Young people are searching for something to die for, a cause worthy of giving their lives to, a love that will last a lifetime. They're looking for passion. It isn't that adolescents want to suffer any more than adults do, but they do desperately want something worthy of suffering for and something that will suffer for them. Don't we all? Don't we all?" Psalm 95 calls us to a worship that is filled with passion and that will fuel our passion. A lot of words there. I think you can summarize them all in the three words one of our worship consultants taught me last year. Passionate worship is relaxed, joyful reverence. The heart of passionate worship is reverence. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. I don't want you to ever forget this point, so I'm going to show you passionate worship. You are sitting there. That's the way we always worship. We're sitting, but those words say that worship looks like this. And not even like this. Those words say worship looks like this. If you don't remember anything about this sermon, that's what God is looking for when we come to church. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He's looking for this deep reverence that bows before Him. Now, it's hard to do in the pew, isn't it? I'd challenge anybody to try it. Hard to kneel, let alone actually bow down. But those Hebrew words translated that way are talking as much more about the attitude of your heart, about what you're doing inside, bowing down in reverence before God. That's passionate worship. But the psalm goes on to say it isn't just bowing down, it's also listening. You see that, verses 7 through 10? In fact, Psalm 95 spends more time with listening than it does with anything else. Now, somehow today, we've gotten the idea that worship is mostly about opening your mouth and praising God. We even have the expression, praise and worship. You worship by praising. And yet, Psalm 95 says, perhaps the most passionate thing you can do in worship is to close your mouth and to open your ears and to soften your heart and be willing to do whatever God tells you to do. Passionate worship means listening when God's word is read and preached and being ready to do whatever God tells you to do. The heart of passionate worship is reverence. Because, this is so interesting, because it says God is good. Not because God is great. You don't bow down and listen because God is great, but because God is good. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the flock under His care. You would think, and I thought this when I began to make this sermon, that the reason you bow down is because God is so great. That's not what the psalm says. You bow down because God is so good, which means that our worship, our reverence, is not an act of abject servility. You know, the way a conquered prisoner would put his face in the dust because the boot of the warrior who beat him is on his neck. That's not what God is calling us to do when we bow down. He wants us to bow down not out of fear, but out of loving adoration, because He loves us so much. It's a beautiful picture of that in the gospel stories of Jesus' resurrection. Matthew 28 says that when Jesus suddenly appeared to the women, remember what they did? They ran up to Him, they fell on their knees, and they grabbed His feet, and they worshiped Him. That is passionate worship. But Psalm 95 says, you don't just lay on your face when you worship. The time comes for you to rise up and rejoice. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud. I don't know how we do that in a Reformed church. I haven't figured out what that means yet for us. But it says it, shout aloud. Maybe it just means sing really loud. Well, you have to sing pianissimo sometimes too, right? But sing for joy to the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Now, somehow, in our tradition, heavy on reverence, we have gotten the idea that reverence means being silently somber or even gloomily sour. Our young people say that to me. I look around and I see everybody looking like this. And you tell me we're supposed to be joyful. Well, yes, the Bible says that worship is joyful reverence. There is, of course, in worship an important place for penitence. We heard that this morning. A place for lament, a place for complaining and questioning God. Life is hard and we're sinful and it's difficult to walk by faith all the time. So there's a place for that, for a kind of negative spirit. But the overriding tone of worship ought to be joy. Joy that sings out loud. Because, says Psalm 95, verses 3 through 6, God is great. Now, once again, I think that's kind of surprising. I would think that we would be joyful in worship because God is good. You know? You rejoice because God loves you. That's not what the psalm says. It says you rejoice in worship because he is the great God, the great king above all gods. He formed the earth. He holds the universe. You sing joyfully because God is so great. You think about it, it makes sense. You celebrate because the God who loves you is able to do anything that needs to be done to bless you. That's why you celebrate, because you're on the winning side, because God is greater than anything. Passionate worship is joyful reverence. It is relaxed, joyful reverence. Now, I did not say lazy. I did not say sloppy. I did not say casual or informal. I said relaxed. Reverence. Joyful reverence. Relaxed. Joyful reverence. I use the word relaxed because of verse 11 of Psalm 95, which talks about people who did not passionately worship God, particularly the part about listening to God. This goes way back to that time in the desert when Israel was wandering for those 40 years, you know. And God kept saying to them, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. They kept saying, we're going back to Egypt. We're not going into the promised land. It's too hard. God said, I can do it. I love you. And they said, we don't believe you. And they rebelled. And God said to that generation, you will never enter my rest. You will never enter into this land of rest. And later on today, if you look up Hebrews 3 and 4, you will find that those very words are applied to Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, if you do not believe in Jesus, you will not enter heaven. If you do not rest in Christ, you will not rest in heaven. Now, I say that worship is relaxed, joyful reverence, because when we worship, we must always rest in Christ as we do so. The problem is that we get so uptight about doing it right, so self-conscious about reverence and attentiveness and joy, and frankly, so preoccupied with whether we like what's happening or not. Admit it, we all do. Do I like this now? Is this doing anything for me now? We get so wrapped up in ourselves that we forget about Jesus. And the fact is that we can come into God's presence only because of Jesus. We can sing and pray only because of Jesus. We have joy because of Jesus. We have the gospel because of Jesus. We can rest in God because of Jesus. And we can relax in our joyful reverence because of Jesus. No, that doesn't mean we can be sloppy in our worship, that you sort of slouch into God's presence like he's your good old buddy. Not at all. It means that God has already done everything that needs to be done for us in Jesus Christ. It's all done. So we can relax in Jesus. Our worship reminds us of that. Every time we come together, the person that stands over there raises his hands and says, "Grace to you." That's the banner that flies over every worship service. Grace to you and peace. There's another way to say it. We do not make ourselves pleasing to God by our worship. I mean, no matter how passionate it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes us pleasing to God. Our deep passion, this one holy, passionate love that would die for God, flames up in our hearts when we finally realize that God has already died for us. Passion can ultimately be satisfied only by God's passion for us in Jesus Christ. So when you wake up on a Sunday morning or somebody's trying to wake you up and you wonder, why should I go to church today? Here's what you do. You focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the secret of passionate worship, the passion of the Christ. That will bring you to your knees in reverence. It will lift you up in joy, and it will give you rest as you fall back into the mighty loving arms of Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, help us to bow before you in reverence, to rise up with joyful singing, and to rest in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that our worship pleases you and blesses us because it is one holy passion. In Jesus' name, amen.